Today's means this is Friday, May 30th, and we will be in work session on House Bill 5021. Members, I have asked to have everyone excused from the different floors subject to a call of the House, but I'm hoping that we can work through the issues that we have in short order. I'll open a work session on House Bill 5021. Mr. Bender.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just would like to very briefly mention the materials that you have distributed to you today, or that we have distributed to you today. And those are limited materials. What I do have is I have a set of three pages that are stapled together that are various budget note proposals. And these are all three of these are materials that you've received earlier. But I'm sensitive to the fact that you have so many pieces of paper floating around now. I thought it might be helpful just to pull these together so they're all in one place, and you can look at them today. The other item is the Chancellor's Office has distributed to you a set of information on performance measures. This is identical to the, or essentially identical to the material that you had in the memo that we've been looking at, the Part 1 LFO recommendations memo. These were attached to that. But they have provided them in this format. They're a little easier to read. None of the numbers or items have changed, but they're in a little easier format to read. So these should be the materials along with that memo that was originally distributed on Tuesday, the LFO recommendation part one. Those are the only three items that you should need to look at today. If there are other questions, we have background materials that we can refer to.
The chair appears to be paperwork challenged on the memo.
Okay, I've done this.
So do I.
Are we still on part one memo?
Yes.
Okay. It looks like this.
And yes, it essentially
that real.
Yeah, the one that wrote all over and highlighted.
Yeah.
And thank you. See, so we're going back to
yes.
This. Right, and essentially the work plan for today is to complete action on this memo. So everything on here the committee would have addressed. Finally, before we leave, I would just like to go over another thing that I've distributed, which is next week's schedule. So.
Okay.
The first item we would consider you ask you to consider would be, again, to go back to item number 5 on the memo, which is on page 3, which deals with the vacancy savings adjustment. We had been talking about a LFO proposal of how to apply a vacancy savings adjustment for this budget, and that is what is indicated or described in the budget note on the middle of that page. In the sheet that you, in the other item that I gave you, the three sheets stapled together, originally higher ed had a alternative proposal there. This was the one dealing with excluding their faculty. They've now indicated that they are no longer pursuing that alternative. So LFO would ask you to approve the budget note as is in our memo, noting that the dollar amounts would be calculated at some later time, and that you would then have a second chance to approve the actual dollar amounts. This is just the method that would be used.
At this point, I would ask the Chancellor to come forward and request the withdrawal of this budget note. Oh, that's the next one.
Yeah, this one's okay.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and adopt this one then, and then we'll deal with the other one. The chair would take a motion to adopt the LFO recommendation for the budget note on vacancy savings adjustments with the understanding that the dollar amount will be inserted when it becomes available.
So moved, Madam
Representative
Chair.
Bate makes the motion. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Hearing no objection, the motion is carried.
Thank you. The next item is number 6, compensation increases. We know that there is no funding in this budget as it comes to you from the governor's balanced budget proposal for to finance increases in salary, wages, or benefits for OUS employees during the 03-05 biennium. We also, LFO, is also recommending that you approve a budget note at the bottom of page 3 to indicate this and to convey the following expectations. The adopted budget does not support any increases in salary, wages, or benefits for the employees of the department during the 03-05 biennium, and the subcommittee expects no such increases to be awarded. You did hear a proposal from higher ed or request for them to consider, for you to consider an alternative language, which is the second of the three pages in this other material that was distributed to you. And this, I believe, is the item that the chair was referring to, higher ed withdrawing the request.
Good morning, Madam Chair. For the record, Grattan Cairns, Director of Government Relations of the Oregon University System. Yes, the proposed budget note language dated May 29, 2003. We would respectfully request to withdraw that. The governor's office has not changed its position regarding the adjustment of salaries. We would then, as a result, withdraw it at this time. Do not object to the budget note as printed, and may return after further discussions have occurred between the Department of Administrative Services and the university system regarding the potential of an exemption, but do not pursue it at this time. And in answer to your question yesterday, the answer was less than 200 in a biennium of these exceptional cases, but that would be moot with the withdrawal of the budget note. Did want you to have that on the record.
Thank you. And the chair acknowledges the withdrawal of the budget note, and I would take a motion to accept the LFO recommendation for the budget note as it relates to compensation increases.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Senator Gordley has made the motion. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried. Mr. Bender.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The next item up for your consideration is not on the memo that you've been looking at, the Part 1 memo, but it is an item that is the third item in the other three sheets that were handed out, the third and final page there.
Oh.
And this is a proposed budget note relating to administration of the system. And please let me read that to you. The budget note states that the Department of Higher Education and the Department of Administrative Services shall assist the Legislative Fiscal Office in preparing a study of the administrative functions of the Chancellor's Office and of the campuses. The scope of this review shall be to evaluate the coordination of services between the Chancellor's Office and the campuses, and to make recommendations to improve efficiency of operations and avoid unnecessary duplication of services. The Legislative Fiscal Office shall present this report to the 2005 session of the Legislative Assembly. So this would be a directive to your Legislative Fiscal Office to prepare a report to you with the assistance of the Department and of DAS. And of course, well, if you wanted to talk more about them.
Committee members, this is a budget note that I think will help the next session of the legislature gain some clarity into the relationship between the functioning in the chancellor's office and the interface with the campuses. Who uses what services? Who pays for what services? If there is any potential here for streamlining and realigning the way that services are provided, and I think it would be a valuable tool for the next committee that does the job that we're doing right now to evaluate the effectiveness of the system as a whole. Is there any further discussion on the budget note?
Madam Chair,
Senator Gordon.
I support the budget note, but a question. Has this been attempted before, this approach, this type of comprehensive study?
Mr. Bender, could you...
Senator Gordley and committee members, there have been comprehensive studies of the administration of the system, including the role of the chancellor's office and its function. One of the more recent studies, it goes by the acronym of the BARC study. I don't know exactly, I can't recall at this moment what the acronym actually stands for, but it was a committee that was established to review these issues. And actually, in that particular case, they did contract with an external to get an external review of the system and provided that information in the early 90s. This would be the first instance that I'm aware of where LFO would be asked to would be specifically directed to come back with a report on these questions.
Thank you. That background is very helpful.
Further comments or questions? The chair would accept a motion to adopt the budget note as proposed by LFO relating to the study of the services coordination between the chancellor's office and the campuses.
So moved.
Senator Gordley has made the motion. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried. Mr. Bender.
Members, as you know, part of the Ways and Means process this session is a request that subcommittees review and approve performance measures for all agencies under their purview. And that would be the next exercise we would ask you to consider now. If you do look at the material that was presented to you today, you will see information here on the performance measures that have been adopted by the Oregon University System and have gone through the review, the DAS review with the Progress Board. This, in case you have marked up things in the Part 1 memo, if you had taken notes, these should be the same items here. So you could look at either of those two documents, whichever is more convenient for you. But just to basically outline what is here in the document that was distributed to you this morning is they start by indicating the charge that the legislature has adopted as the goals for higher education. And you will see that they have categorized their performance measures in relation to those statutory goals. And if you start on page 2 after the first pink sheet, you'll see that there are a number of goals here relating to access, meaning the number of students that are being served and the service of the system to students who are entering as freshmen, transferring from community colleges, enrolling in undergraduate credit courses, graduate credit courses, the service to students of color, and the amount of lower income students that are being able to be served. So these would be the goal 1.1 access. And on this table, you can see the 2000 values. And for 2005, you'll generally or typically see two numbers here. The two numbers that the system is proposing here for 2005 refer to the following. They refer to the level that in the, and please correct me if this is incorrect, the unshaded number in the 2005 category. So for the first performance measure, the number of freshmen entering for the first time, the number of 10,650 is the number that they would expect in 2005 if you approve the governor's balanced budget proposal that was submitted to you. If you are unable to fund at that level, they are indicating that they believe they would only be able to reach a target of 10,265 freshmen enrolled in the year 2005. They would seek to essentially maintain the trends that they were on, but not have the additional
roughly 400, just shy of 400 students growth that they would be able to obtain under the governor's balanced budget proposal.
So, Mr. Bender, is the shaded number based on the co-chair's budget, or what is it based on?
It is not based on the co-chair's budget. It is based on, my understanding is it's not based on any specific funding level. So,
what is it? Could we have the chancellor come forward and give us some information on how this number was derived?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Richard Jarvis, Chancellor of the Oregon University System, and with me, Dr. Nancy Goldschmidt, who works on the Performance Indicator Program. The numbers you see in front of you are a function of the time at which we were required to present these analyses. So the top number is based on the governor's January budget, which projected some continuing modest growth in the university system, but less than we had projected were the demographics to continue. The lower number was our best guess at the time we turned this in of a flat budget, one that would continue out into the future with no increase, and in that sense, somewhat closer to the governor's revised budget. But if we start to project the co-chair's budget, we would fall below all of these enrollment numbers.
Okay, so if we were to assume then that the shaded number reflected the governor's revised budget, we'd be in the ballpark.
Close enough, yes.
Okay. Madam Chair.
Senator Mesman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Do these numbers reflect the impact of increased fees?
Senator Mesman, Madam Chair, Senator, yes, they would reflect what we had proposed as the increased fees and the essentially flat state funding. Were we able to assume that, then we project out these continuing rates.
So that, Madam Chair, follow up?
Yes.
So that's different than what the numbers we had when we had our public hearings?
They should be the same numbers, or in the ballpark of the same numbers. I can't quite remember exactly.
Madam Chair,
follow
just
up?
For clarification then. I thought we had testimony at that time that those numbers did not include the impact of a increase in tuition.
We hadn't had the government.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair, Senator Mesley. I think at the time we testified originally before you, we had certainly not had the co-chair's budget at that time. We were working off of an assumption of a reduced budget to the level of approximately 4% was our guess for a maintain the size of the system budget. So there's been some slippage in all of our estimates as we've gone through the last several months, and you'll see them all start to creep down as we go from January to April to now.
Thank you.
It's Senator Gordley.
Thank you. Are the access goals prioritized 1 through 6? Is that?
Let me slide over. Okay.
Could you pass the microphone down to Dr.
Senator Gordley, members of the committee.
Please.
I'm sorry. Chair Morgan, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Nancy Goldschmidt, Associate Vice Chancellor, Oregon University System.
Thank you.
Sorry. Senator Gordley, members of the committee, they are not prioritized. It's not a priority in those, except for the fact that because of the undergraduates and the emphasis on undergraduate programs, there's an emphasis there. But in terms of the numbers, they could be A, B, C, D. They were not intended to be ranked as a priority.
What I would like to see, given what you said, and given our understanding now of what the emphasis needs to be on access for low-income students and students of color, I'd like to see those two categories elevated. I'd like to see low-income students at the top of the list, and I think it should be a priority. And following that, students of color. Students of color, particularly the Hispanic students, we know from the Oregon Progress Board report that it is the Hispanic student population that is not accessing higher education in the numbers that we would expect, and so that tells us that we have some particular challenges there. So I would like this. I would like to see the access list prioritized in a manner that says this is where we're placing our emphasis, and this is why we're placing our emphasis here, in order to improve and enhance access for categories of students who have been traditionally underserved and underrepresented. Does that make sense to you, both of you, as an approach?
Senator Gordley, members of the committee, one of the things, yes, it makes sense in terms of, yes, you're right, students have been underserved. One of the things that we feared in making the list and cutting it out this way was coming into conflict with the guidance that we've been receiving from the Office of Civil Rights, and because this requires targets and goals set. So we've been kind of feeling constrained a bit by the OCR requirements that we not set goals for students of color exclusively.
That's not my statement to
okay.
you, to set goals. I'm saying, as I'm looking at this particular list, 1 through 6, which is a statement of where you're placing your emphasis on access, that I would like to see a reordering of the listed priorities, so that what we see first is access for low-income students, which is the issue of affordability,
mm-hmm.
as you've stated it here, and then students of color, with an understanding that there is a particular challenge out there in getting Hispanic students into higher education, and then the rest of the list could follow that.
We have no problem doing that. Thank you.
So if I might just reiterate, Senator Gordley, so that I'm clear on what you're asking, you would like the listing to reflect a priority ranking rather
yes.
than just some random list.
Yes.
Madam Chair?
Mr. Chancellor, go ahead.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'd be happy to do that. I, in fact, would like the opportunity to take this back to our board, who I'm sure would like to make that statement themselves. It would be entirely consistent with all of their priority statements
mm-hmm.
this year, so I'm sure they'd appreciate the opportunity to reaffirm this, and that would be a positive step to take that would bring some attention at the board level to this matter.
That's excellent.
We'll do that.
Thank you. Representative Bates.
Madam Chair, thank you. I would fully agree with what the good senator said about these two topics, but I would expand it just slightly if I could. Community colleges are the most common access for low-income students in the state,
mm-hmm.
And when I look through what we've been seeing as far as graduation rates and access to higher ed, I see we have a large number flowing through in that direction. I'm very concerned that the governor's balanced budget shows a 6,000 student decrease in transferring from community colleges. I'd like to see you look at that and see if you can get that back up to where you expect it to be. It was very good to see a jump from 56,000 to 69,000, but I'm concerned about the 6,000 drop. Please respond if you'd like to.
I'm sorry, if I may, Madam Chair and Representative Bates, I'm sorry, there's an alignment issue on the chart here. The number of students transferring from the community colleges is shown in the box just above that, which would project to increase from 2763 okay. to between 3,400 and 3,500. The next line down, and unfortunately the box is separated from the left-hand column.
Okay.
The 56,000 to 6963 is full undergraduate enrollment in credit courses. It's everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So students transferring from community colleges then?
If we could count across to the third column, key performance measure, number of students transferring from Oregon Community College is actually the second row
mm-hmm.
on the table.
It's this number here. You see, they screwed up. That should go there.
I got you.
Yeah.
So it's the number is very small then, 27?
Yes. Yes, sir.
The number is 20. Current number is 27. We were projected the increase to 3,400 to 3,500.
My concern would stay the same. That is still an access point for people.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look down at the other concern, I have to leave to go to the floor here real quick. Because when you look down at what the percentage of graduation is, mm-hmm. if I'm looking at this correctly again, mm-hmm. you have a graduation rate for community college transfers in the 70s percentile.
Mm-hmm.
But the graduation rate for freshmen entering and going through the routine courses is about 55 to 56%. But your return rate for the first year is in the 70s. So something's happening. You're losing a lot of students. And I have a lot of reasons that might happen, but I'd like to have you look at that. I just find those numbers concerning.
Representative Bates, before you have to go, is there any other issues you want to raise in relation to the performance measures?
And Madam Chair, I'd be glad to vote these on if I was here. I just bring up those concerns. I'm not a no vote from yes.
Okay, thank you very much. Chancellor Jarvis, did you wish to respond?
Only with it, and certainly I would share all of the concerns. So there's no question on that. The graduation rate for first-time freshmen always looks like a surprisingly low number. That is, in fact, exactly the national average for four-year institutions, because the way the number is computed, it is those students who start and finish at the same institution. So for all the students who move around and finish somewhere else at another four-year school, they don't get counted. So those students who leave us to go to some other four-year school or who leave some other four-year school to come to us are not included in that 55% rate. So there is a considerable flow of students who, in fact, complete four-year degrees, but if they don't complete it at the institution in which they start, they don't show up in this standard statistic. We're caught with a national statistic here.
Madam Chair, that's a good point for further discussion. You should look at your graduation rate, because there should be a net flux that hopefully would balance out.
Mm-hmm.
People going from Southern, as an example, up to OUS or Oregon State would be not counted at one institution, but counted at the other. So you should be able to figure out your graduation rate.
We'll talk, I don't want
to say committee time right now. We'll discuss it privately. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Is there anything else that the committee would like to discuss in the Goal 1.1 access area? Let's go ahead and move on, Mr. Bender.
Your next access goal, 1.2, is relating to or tied to a report called the Measuring Up Report. It's a letter grade awarded to Oregon based on the percent of 18 to 24-year-olds who are enrolled in college full-time and percent of working adults enrolled part-time. This is a indication. The Measuring Up Report is a report that compares higher education statistics among all 50 states. My understanding is it's a fairly new report. I don't know the first time that it was released. So it's a fairly, is that correct? This was the second time.
Mm-hmm.
It was a fairly new report. I think that having some type of external review of the way that the system is doing is a good thing to have. I think we do have to note, though, that this particular measure is outside the control of the state, in the sense that if the people who are researching this report start to change their criteria, it may be difficult for the system to meet its new criteria when it doesn't have control. So this essentially is a system that, this is a set of priorities or a method of looking at things that is not under the control of the state, that we're having higher ed try to attain or try to meet those criteria. I know I'm not saying this very well, but I think that's a concern, but it's not a reason not to adopt this performance measure.
Senator Mesley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do have some concerns with this category. First of all, at least I don't know very little about who Measuring Up is or what their criteria is, whether they are measuring the same things that we're trying to advance in our higher education system. And particularly, as the staff just said, since we have no control over that measuring device, I guess I'm a little concerned whether this is an appropriate performance standard. And it might be very well justified. But and the other question I guess I might have is, are there other groups who measure across the United States?
Mr. Chancellor, Dr. Goldschmidt.
I'll stop. Madam Chair, Senator Mesley, I would say that the measuring up is produced by the National Center for Public Policy in Higher Education, so they would have a very high level of national recognition and respect. They're the way in which other states tend to see us, and we tend to look at other states. One comment I would make on this is it is, in fact, a letter grade applied to the state as a whole. It is not applied here just to OUS. So it is the total enrollment within the state at all institutions, two-year, four-year, and independent. But we believe it's an important enough standard for us that we recognize that this is the way other states look at us and would be the most respected view of us that other states would have. So we would be content to be held against it.
Follow up?
Well, Madam Chair, I'd still like to see the criteria and background of how they make these decisions. Senator, and I think it might be educational for us to help us in our goal setting, too.
Happy to provide that.
Mm-hmm. Senator Gordley, did you have a comment or a question?
No, I support keeping this goal. I think it's important to understand where we fit in the larger scheme of things. And I seem to recall that when the report came out, it got a huge amount of attention nationally.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have been concerned of late about Doonesbury and New York Times front pages and et cetera. And, you know, keeping this in front of us as a reminder that we don't want to rest on D and that we would like to get to much higher than a C, it's important to keep it in front of us.
I concur, Senator Gordley, and I think that there is value to having a third party evaluate all this, and especially someone that has a national reputation that that has some weight to it, that certainly we need to pay attention to where our system is ranked in the national arena. So I do support this, but I am also interested in getting some kind of information on the framework here and what the judging criteria is, and a little bit about what's behind each of those categories, how they're judged, because I think that you know, when we attempt to measure our system up against especially Eastern colleges that have a lot deeper base than we do, that the disadvantage is sometimes in the measuring system rather than in the actual on the ground situation. So I would be interested in getting more information, but I do think that it is valuable to have a third-party measurement on this. Any more comment on Goal 1.2 in the access area? Is there any objection to it? Okay, let's move on to 2.1, quality.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The next two measures, which are categorized as Goal 2.1, to increase the quality of existing programs customers use, both are based on responses to surveys that the system administers. The first is a survey of employers of engineering and computer science graduates. So this is a very specific program that the that higher ed is offering in the areas of engineering and computer science. The chancellor's office goes out and occasionally, or annually, I believe, surveys employers as to how satisfied they are with these graduates. And as you can see, their survey is on a 5-point scale. This is showing the value in 2000 of 3.59, and they are seeking a modest improvement to 3.65. If you, by the way, if you go past the yellow page in your information here, you can see the history of this particular survey, and on page 7 you can actually see that I was incorrect. This is a biennial survey, it's not annual, and it has only been done once in 2002. it would appear that the rate of increase, and perhaps there could be some type of comment on this, that those two numbers appear to be very close and really would almost appear to be statistically insignificant between the 3.59 and the 3.65. So it would appear to be a maintenance of current employer satisfaction. I don't know if I am really interpreting that correctly or not.
Chair Morgan, members of the committee, yes, you are interpreting that correctly in terms of maintenance with this slight increase given the situation with the financial situation. With the employer survey, this is a survey that for the first time this past year we field tested with computer and engineering graduates, employers of those recent graduates in the last 3 years. And so this represents a new attempt from at the system level to go out and survey and interview employers.
Madam Chair?
Susan McMaster.
Do we have a clear understanding of what the employers would expect as for improvements? It would appear to me like this is probably a C plus, maybe, or maybe a low B minus. And it would appear to me to have some room for improvement, but do we understand clearly what they would like to see?
Senator Mazzarelli, members of the committee, yes, we do have a very clear notion of what they would like improved. For engineering and computer science graduates, many employers indicate that recent graduates cannot write at levels they would like them to be able to do so. They emphasize that their problem solving and teamwork skills are very high, their practical business skills a little lower, but writing seems to be the lowest rated of all the things we asked. And I would like to add, if I could, Senator Mazzarelli, members of the committee, that the campuses are working on changing curriculum to make sure that graduates do come out in these fields with more writing opportunities so they do build those skills.
Are there any other questions or comments on Goal 2.1 relating to quality? I would note that this also goes over to the next page and talks about the number of graduates who would choose OUS in the future and the total gifts from philanthropic sources in millions of dollars. So if there isn't any additions or any further comments, are there any objections to this one? Let's proceed.
The next set of quality goals categorized under Goal 2.2 refer to measures of services of the provision of educational services and include student-faculty ratios, freshman persistence to the sophomore year, degree completion at the undergraduate level, and degree completion by community college transfer students, or ultimate bachelor degree completion by community college transfer students. And you can see in those cases that the ratio of students to faculty, I'm not sure what the goal would be as opposed to a target in terms of the available funding levels. Of course, we would tend to believe that the lower that ratio, the more the better the experience would be for the students and the more personalized attention they would be able to receive.
Questions or comments in the 2.2 area? Representative March.
Yeah, I just is the 2005 target faced with reality situation? Okay, thank you.
We have that. We discussed that quite at length.
Okay.
Are there any objections to any of this or any suggestions for additions or subtractions or multiplications?
More funding?
Let's go ahead to Goal 2.3.
Goal 2.3 deals with the quality of the research programs as opposed to the direct undergraduate instruction measures. And these are total amounts of sponsored research dollars that are awarded to the institutions or to the researchers at the institutions, and a measure of the amount of research sponsored per faculty member at the research doctoral institution. So those would be the big three institutions.
Questions, comments? Let's move ahead.
Next, there are a number of goals labeled 3.1 related to the ability of the institutions to promote economic development through innovations and patents. You can see the number of innovations is considered a goal or is identified as a goal, and the number of patent applications is as well. Again, if you look, if you want to get some historical background on these particular measures, you can see there is some information on page 8 of the inventions disclosed and the patent applications. For inventions disclosed, I would note that the 2005 target is no higher than the 1999 level. So they're really not... there really is not an expectation or goal here of increasing the amount of inventions that are disclosed as a result of OUS research activities.
Madam Chair.
Senator Gordon.
The other thing that's missing is the 2003 information, which could tell us more about whether the goal that's been set or tell us more about the goal that has been set.
Senator Gortley, Madam, members of the committee, I'd like to note that there's a lag in when the data are available by the group that collects the data on a national basis, and that will not be available until next fall for 2003.
So the note that shows on the form here, due January 2003, means what?
Well, we're hopeful. They are supposed to produce their reports, but not necessarily they do on time. So, unfortunately, we don't have that in a way that allows us to compare to peer institutions. This, too, represents an area in which the goals that were originally were set for these areas were twice as high in the external groups that have been looking at this, about the importance of doing this, but again, faced with fiscal realities, and we tampered down the goals in this area.
Well, it doesn't seem to match up that we would be setting a goal for setting future goals without really knowing what was achieved in 2001 and 2002. What am I missing?
It makes it very difficult to set goals when things lag, data lags behind when you need to set goals for. This is a new area for us that we added this year in March, and we added these items based upon what OCED and other groups were saying was important to measure. They set goals that were considerably higher than this, but we believed when they did that in the fall and the way the things have been going, that we struggle with, do we set hopeful but unrealistic goals that we fall short of, or do we set some goals and list these as things we want to do? And so we start looking at them and start tracking and creating baseline information on it. And I think those are the two things that we had to balance.
And just, again, just for clarification, the information that is stated to be due January 2003, you would actually have in hand when?
Probably not for some time, next fall.
Why does it take so long? I mean, you're only having to track less than 50 things.
This is a national database that we use because you may recall from earlier discussions about the peer groups, that what we're doing is trying to work with the business community, business and industry community, to improve technology transfer and innovation. And a lot of that calls for investments and different things. And we hope those things will be realized because we think they're critical to the economic recovery.
Well, now I'm confused because the goal says commercialize university research into profitable business ventures. So what you're saying is that you have to go out nationally and find out what things that the university's been researching have resulted in inventions?
Chair Morgan and members of the committee, there's a couple different kinds of questions that are being answered. Maybe I answered the wrong question. When we do our performance indicators, which is a little bit different maybe from the way the rest of the agencies do, I don't know, but we always look at national data to see how we're compared to other states in the nation. And so we are using a national database for these numbers.
So you're using a national database to come up with this, the actual data that is on page 8 of your display?
Yes.
Can I follow up?
Yeah.
Madam Chair? Yeah, we're a little muddled here. Well, for example, looking at the year 2000 and the number of inventions disclosed, the number is 48. And so, again, the question is, how do we know it was 48? And where were those 48 inventions based? If they were based at in an Oregon experience and Oregon universities, how do we know that? What was the source of information?
Okay.
Some information had to be generated that was then shared with some national source.
Okay. If you'll turn to page 9 of your sheet, which lists all the data sources for every measure that's on this list. If you look down to number 580, 18 to 22.
It's our page 10.
Association of University Technology Managers. It's called the Autumn Licensing Survey. It's produced annually for each fiscal year, but it's published at least 1 year following that because they rely on gathering all the data from all the institutions.
So, to follow up on Senator Gordley's question, this doesn't necessarily relate to any kind of activity in the state of Oregon. This relates to activity nationwide that is somehow linked to things that have gone on at the universities in Oregon. Is that what, are we?
Chair Morgan, members of the committee, the numbers here represent Oregon activity. I did not produce any numbers that represent activity in other states.
So what does this actually represent then? This represents the number of inventions invented in Oregon?
Yes.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Senator Manchin.
I apologize because I think we're spending way too much time on this, but I'm confused too, and I think I figured it out, so tell me if I'm off base or not. When I first looked at this at the goal, I thought, well, are inventions really the best measurement for all of our businesses in the state of Oregon? This really relates to high tech, doesn't it?
High tech, biotechnology, nanotechnology, other signature research areas, the expansion and growth of new industry and jobs.
Or it could be a new plant that's been patented as
it
well.
It could be, yes.
Right.
But it's not relating to all businesses, then, as the goal would indicate to me. Into profitable business ventures would mean, could mean any business.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it makes more sense in my mind if I look at it in those terms rather than the general business community.
Okay. Thank
you. We beat this one to death.
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Let's move on.
Okay.
3.2, economic needs and employability.
Okay. These are a number of measures that relate to the ability of graduates to receive employment. The first is the percent of bachelor's graduates who have completed an internship. So it's not actually a direct measure of how many people are getting jobs, but are able to be in internship programs, which have proven successful in many cases in allowing graduates to obtain employment after graduation. So you can see that they are looking toward a considerable increase in the percent of graduates that are completing internships. The total number of bachelor's degrees awarded, there is a growth expected there. The number of advanced degrees awarded, there's some growth expected there. And specifically, the number of degrees in engineering and computer sciences, which has received specific extra funding by the state, there is a expectation of growth there. Again, there's historical data available on these numbers, beginning at the bottom of page 8 and continuing on page 9.
Okay. Questions, discussion, objection? Madam
Chair,
Senator Masery.
Wouldn't it be helpful for all of us if we had the percentage of graduates who were employed and also the percentage that are employed in Oregon? To give us a sense whether we're meeting the targets?
Senator Mazzulli, members of the committee, we do actually have that information. We do collect it biannually, and so, you know, it's easy enough to do that.
I think those would be valuable additions, too.
I do, very much so.
Okay.
Let's go ahead then and add or put in a suggestion that those be added. Any further comments, objections? Let's move on then to
3.3 looks at the external, it relates to the statewide public service programs of OSU and specific to that, and is a measure of the external funds generated for each state dollar that the state puts into the statewide public service programs. You can see there that this is a new measure, and although a target has been set, and on page 9, they do not have historic data. I do assume that this is probably something that, with additional time, the statewides could provide the historic data as well, and give a better idea as to how the targets relate to what has been achieved in the past.
Questions, comments, objections? Let's go ahead and move on to 4.1.
And the last item is to provide cost effectiveness and to manage programs to provide average quality at above average quality at average cost. And looking at the revenues per student as a percent of average revenues at peer universities, they look at 87.9% as the 2000 value, and 72% is what they're projecting would be allowed or available at the governor's recommended budget for the 03-05 biennium. This does strike me as a somewhat curious performance measure, in that one would think that the performance measure would seek to have a low target, but clearly that's not the intent of the system. So it appears a little curious to me, at least, as to if you want to be able to have above average quality being cost effective, how exactly this is supposed to be interpreted.
Mr. Chancellor.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. This is indeed a problem. All of the cost effectiveness measures tend to be inverse to quality measures, because one of the ways to drive cost effectiveness up is to serve more people with fewer dollars, and that tends to lead to often a reduction in services. This is just reflecting our RAM funding level, that as we drift down, then you see the rest of these performance measures in the context of certainly fewer dollars have been put in to generate the results above. So it is not a it would not be our target. At least our target would be to hope it doesn't drift any further than that. We're trying to put a context number in here and say this is what we're serving in comparison to the rate at which our peers are serving their students and for everything else that appears then on these pages.
Discussion? Objection? Members, I have another concept for a performance measure that I'd like to lay out here. And I think that in our discussions that we've had on fee remissions and the money that's available to offset the cost of students going to school that are available through the opportunity grants and the scholarships that are overseen by the Oregon Student Assistance Commission and the scholarships that are overseen by each of the campuses, and then federal things like Pell Grants that are available. I think it would be interesting to see some kind of a measurement over time as to how much assistance there is in relation to the total tuition. Comments?
Madam Chair, when you say over a period of time.
If you broke it down in time according to the same format that the rest of this data is, I think it would be an interesting performance measure for us to use in gauging the amount of tuition assistance revenue there was in relation to the tuition. The cost of the tuition. And I'm just throwing this out.
Madam Chair, now do you include fee remissions in that?
Yes.
So we're measuring tuition versus my glasses, total state and federal grants, scholarships, and fee remissions.
Well, and whatever other sources there are that aren't caught into those that help offset the cost of tuition.
But excluding
and loans. I would exclude grants from that, anything that has to be paid
loans.
Back.
You mean loans?
Loans. Exclude loans.
Yes, loans.
Exclude loans.
Anything that okay. would be expected to be paid back.
Do you and want them to go back?
Do you see a value in doing that?
I think there is in that you're going to capture, to some extent, how much federal money, for example, we brought in to help pay for students' education here, and that might show an interesting trend as well. I mean, for example, the fee remission program made it, I was looking at the one example at Southern Oregon, made it possible for a student to attend Southern Oregon because that filled in the blanks between the federal grants and the other funding. So, I think there's a value there.
Now, are you asking it to be all up together, or do you want each category measured separately?
Well, I'm not sure.
We could do each one separately.
We'd probably want to definitely look at the raw data. Separately.
Well, and I think that the value of performance measures is to show trending rather than, and then, you could have a backup display underneath that broke it out if it was.
Do you want them to go back in time?
No, I don't think. I think, well.
We can go back in time.
From?
Senator Mesri.
Senator, why would you exclude loans? That's also assistance.
Well, I think that the expectation is that loans are to be paid back, whereas there is a sizable chunk of money here that is just an out-and-out assistance grant.
And where I'm coming from, Madam Chair, if we're trying to measure how much assistance is provided and the benefit to that assistance, I would think loans would be part of that picture. It might be in a different
You can have loans in a different category and then add them all up. You know, then have a third category that includes, that totals it.
Maybe the university system could play work on some concepts around that and come back to us on that?
Okay. Happy to.
I'd appreciate that if you would.
Send an email.
And I think that, you know, from my own perspective, the value of it would be to see the in a large sense the relationship between how we underwrote through all these different revenue streams the cost of tuition in relation to the real cost of a tuition.
Right. Would you also want to look at a relationship to community colleges?
Well, that's a good point.
You've opened a whole can of worms there.
But and perhaps that would be better off put into. What do you think, Mr. Bennett?
So the question is whether to do a similar analysis for students
colleges.
Attending community colleges.
Yeah. We
certainly
are
that
take
would
that one up.
That would it would certainly be a reasonable thing to do, that. Though it wouldn't. That would be for the Department of Community Colleges.
Yeah.
I would believe to work on that aspect. Both may be seeking some assistance from the Student Assistance Commission, but I'm not sure if they would need to do that or not.
I would ask the Chancellor's Office to try to work on some concepts here with that overall goal in mind and see if there is some workable way to do this for the university system. Any other comments on performance measures? Chair would accept a motion to approve the performance measures as presented and amended.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Mm-hmm. Senator Gordley has moved. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried. And I believe that concludes the work plan that we had today, with the exception of the discussion of the schedule.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to briefly go over your schedule for next week, which was distributed to you and is in calendar format. On Monday, you will be doing a work session on the state library budget and an associated bill, Senate Bill 12, that relates to the funding of the state library as well. Then you will be returning to complete work sessions on the Department of Higher Education on Tuesday and Wednesday. There are the items that you would be working on, if you go back to this buff sheet, are basically the items that are listed under review as opposed to complete, because you've gone through all those items labeled as complete. And then on Thursday, you have scheduled a request for supplemental expenditure limitations for the current biennium ending June 30th by the Department of Education, and some federal grant applications by the Department of Education as well. I urge you to understand that the schedule will be, the potential to be changing quite often at this point, and we will try to keep you informed as well as soon as we know what's happening.
Questions? No. Without further, Senator Mazzoni.
Madam Chair, and this isn't pertaining only to this committee, but, and I know staff is really stressed at this time, but if the sooner we could get this information to look at it before we get the meetings, would, and I know some of it is presented from the department we're talking about at the time when we walk in the building, but it makes it difficult, I think, and really requires us to take more time to work our way through some of these issues.
I agree, and I think that you know, the nature of the discussions that we're having in this committee require the department to go back and work some really long hours to try to bring together the information. So I think that there's always going to be a balance there between what we ask them to do and the time that they have available and the challenge that they have in gathering the information. So I would hope that we would also respect the needs of whatever department we had in front of us. And with that, I would just like to say that the information that we've been getting from the Chancellor's office and the higher ed system. I've been very impressed with it. I think that you've really done an excellent job of making sure that you understand what we're wanting to get from you and then giving it back to us. And so from that point of view, this has been very satisfying. And with that, I will adjourn the meeting, and we'll reconvene at 8:30 on Monday morning.